welcome to the Cowboy Chronicles post-game edition of the Cowboy Chronicles podcast presented by Zaxby's. Zaxby's taking chicken to a whole new level of flavor. Stop by your neighborhood Zaxby's today or order online at zaxbys.com. I am your host of the Cowboy Chronicles, Scott Wright, joined by columnist Barry Trammell, my beat partner Jacob Unruh. Guys, we witnessed an exciting game on Saturday. Oklahoma State falls 36-30 at Texas, number 12 Texas. Solid showing in a lot of areas for the Cowboys, but could not make enough plays, particularly in short yardage, and just couldn't get over the hump. But offensively, that was probably the most concerning thing, was their inability to convert from third and one, fourth and one. Those type of plays really sort of shot themselves in the foot.
Well, Scotty, it started early. They get down there first and goal at the 4, I think it was, and have to settle for a field goal, and they that became a game-long situation. They kept trying to run Chuba Hubbard into the end zone from close in, and Texas was having none of it. So the Cowboys didn't show a lot of offensive ingenuity, I didn't think, near the goal line. Very few passes. I think I figured it up. 9 plays were run inside the Texas 10 Saturday night. 0 pass plays. 23 plays were run inside the Texas 22-yard line. Only 4 pass plays. And even the running plays, very few of them involved Spencer Sanders trying to get out on the edge or draw or whatever. He was very effective. Chuba Hubbard was not. And yet the Cowboys kept going to that well. And it was a dry hole. It never paid off.
37 carries for 118 yards from Hubbard. The yardage about what you might have thought. The carries well beyond what you might have expected from the Oklahoma State running back, Jacob.
Yeah, this comes a week after Gundy says 32 carries for Chuba is too much, and they turn around and get the ball 37 times. It just felt like he kept hitting a brick wall over and over, and it's like, we're going to keep running our heads into it. And it wasn't a very good strategy. You have L.D. Brown get 1 carry. And I know he struggled to start the year, but 1 carry for minus 4 yards in the first quarter, and then they just said, we're going to stick with Chuba no matter what. Micah Cooper was healthy. He was suited up after missing last week's game with an injury. Jameel Jeter's healthy. You've got guys that they've kind of run early in the season that all of a sudden they're just going away from them.
Yeah, although, listen, I got no problem. If you're going to run the ball, run Chuba. I think OSU's tailback depth is a problem because L.D. Brown does not look like any kind of difference maker. With Cooper, you're talking about a walk-on. It gets pretty thin after that. This is a position that historically the Cowboys have been very deep at. Last year, L.D. Brown was the 4th-team tailback. This year, he really doesn't look any better, and he's the 2nd-team tailback. You lose Justice Hill and J.D. King. To me, tailback depth is a concern. And I think if you're going to get those carries down for Chuba Hubbard, it's not going to come by playing somebody else. I think it's going to come from expanding the offense and trying to find other ways to move the ball, particularly in short yardage situations.
And Barry, I think you had the stat that what close to or just short of half of Hubbard's carries came once they got inside the Texas 30-yard line. 15
out of 37 were inside the 22 on those plays I was talking about. So it's like Jacob said, they kept beating their head against the wall, and didn't get them very far. Generally doesn't get anybody very far.
Now Spencer Sanders showed us some things last night. We were curious how he would react in the big game atmosphere of Texas. 100,000 sold out crowd, really intense atmosphere. And Gundy said that his demeanor was good. He said he was even calmer than he was at Texas a week earlier. That said, he really performed pretty well. Missed a couple of throws. Had one tipped that was went for an interception. One was an overthrow that was intercepted. He made a heads up play to jump on a Chuba Hubbard fumble at one point. The 33-yard run that he had that set up the last touchdown was maybe the most impressive play. I don't know. The 50-yard pass to Braden Johnson.
Yeah, that 55-yard. I mean, that was 60 yards in the air. You don't get to count for the 5 yards he backed up to throw the ball, and just he chunked it. Was that as hard as he could? I mean, that was impressive.
That was it was an impressive throw.
I think what stands out of Spencer's game is when they did spread it and let him run the ball, the offense clicked. It seemed like he was able to use some quarterback draws, some different ways to kind of get loose. And then when he threw the ball, I mean, you know, Tylan had some great catches. He had deep throws. They got more receivers involved tonight, you know, from 4 last week to 7 this week. That was a good positive sign. It's just they just didn't go to it enough.
Jelani Woods with some receptions. Finally saw the big guy get involved in the passing game. They've been running a lot of this tight end and too tight formations that you can kind of question what exactly their philosophy is a little bit. But if you're going to have those guys out there, you need Jelani Woods to be catching the ball.
Yeah, you know, they threw him one early, went for a nice gain, 14, 15 yards, seemed like. And then Sanders, his one bad throw, his worst throw is the interception when he overthrew Jelani Woods. And if you overthrow Jelani Woods, that's very difficult because he stands 6'7". So Sanders sailed one over his head. And then, of course, Jelani Woods was the intended target on the fateful play of the game, the fake field goal.
Yeah.
I would like to see Jelani Woods become a target around the goal line. That's what
– right.
I mean, he's 6'7". Throw him a few jump balls over there, and not necessarily a fade, but just have him run out there 4 yards, turn around, and throw it high on a line. And if he can't get it, it's probably going to go in the seats.
Yeah.
So, to me, he's a target, a weapon around the end zone that the Cowboys aren't using.
I would agree. They've got more than more guys than just him that could be in that role with Jordan McCray, C.J. Moore, Patrick McCoffman, also all 6'5" or taller, and those guys don't seem to get any end zone looks either.
Well, what happened to the fade to Tylan in the end zone? They've thrown that early in the season, and it just seemed like that wasn't an option. I know that he was double covered, but the fade to him essentially is kind of a – You got a better odds than the work they were trying to do at times with the run game.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm guessing that.
Well, I hate all fades, but I would have liked it better than just keep running the ball. But they did double Tylan Wallace.
Yeah.
And what the story of the game – here's the story of the game. Teams have been putting a safety over on Tylan Wallace for a long time. But when that happens, it almost always has opened running games. Running lanes, and last night it didn't open running lanes. They still couldn't run the ball, even with a safety over Wallace. Now, you know, the Cowboys have a lot of offense, and they got a lot of players. Well, they also have the nation's leading receiver in yardage, or did coming into the game, and the nation's leading rusher in yardage coming into the game. Texas sort of neutralized Wallace. Was he 6 catches, 83 yards, I think? Is that what it was? 5 for 83. So they did it, you know, they did okay on Wallace, and then they shut down Hubbard. Well, if you take out a team's best receiver and the team's best rusher and they lead the nation, you're going to struggle. And that's what happened. The Cowboys were not able to run the ball, even though Texas put that safety over on Wallace.
That was an interesting thing because I really thought that would be what opened up the middle of the field. And if the run game isn't working, it seems like there would be some space for Dylan Stoner, who I know had probably season high in receptions. Landon Wolf, some of those passes over the middle seemed like they should have been more available than they were. Might have been some openings there that they did not find. So. Let's take a quick break. We'll come back and talk a little bit of defense here on the Cowboy Chronicles presented by Zaxby's. We're back on the Cowboy Chronicles, presented by Zaxby's. I am your host, Scott Wright, joined by Jacob Unruh and Barry Trammell. Talking post-game, Texas. Texas offense had they had their share of struggles against the Cowboy defense. And a couple of big plays that produced touchdowns, busted coverage, trick play, and then Gundy seemed to be very frustrated by the quarterback run by Sam Ellinger at the end of the game that would have given Oklahoma State a chance to get the ball back on a punt when they were trying to run out the clock, which was another bust. He essentially said, we told them the quarterback was going to keep the ball, and whoever had that responsibility got lost in the mesh somewhere. But overall, felt like a pretty solid performance from the defense, Jacob or Barry.
Yeah, you know, here's the deal. You get your mind sort of skewed by watching a lot of Big 12 football, watching right. a lot of OSU football. Texas, not counting the last series when they were just trying to run out the clock, Texas had 11 possessions and they scored 5 touchdowns. That's winning offense. That's not winning defense. However, it seemed like the Cowboys held up pretty good defensively. And the one thing they did was they sort of contained Sam Ellinger. Now, it came at a price. Cowboys went with a 3-man line most of the night. And the fourth guy that, you know, they walk up to the line as a virtual fourth lineman. Often it was Brock Martin, I think you guys said. He played a lot of linebacker. He was off the line most of the night.
Yeah.
So when you do that, it really helps with the pass game. It helps with containing a running quarterback. But you're basically inviting the other team to hand the ball to the tailback and make 4 yards every time. And, you know, simple mathematics tell you, you can move the ball pretty good making 4 yards at your tailback. Third and twos become a first down. So the Texas running game anemic most of this season. It was really good last night. The two tailbacks, Ingram and Roschon Johnson, combined for good numbers. And sustained drives. So it was a little bit of a frustrating night defensively, but overall, you know, they avoided the big play. The 78-yard touchdown pass was a killer, but for the most part, they didn't let Sam Ellinger beat them.
Sorry, before that run, he only had 42 yards on 9 carries before that last run. I mean, I thought that's a win for this defense coming in to hold Ellinger like that. You know, it felt like it was bend and don't break too much at times, but I think you've seen in the first 3 games you saw positive steps to the defense. I think this one you saw a positive step. Amen Ogbogbamia talked about how he's really proud and feels like they showed that they can hang with some of the better teams in the Big 12 defensively after the game. And maybe that's what they take from this. You hope they build some confidence, even though they didn't come out on the win, and kind of move forward.
Yeah, it was, I think, an important performance for the Oklahoma State defense because of that. Jim Knowles essentially said after the game that they wanted Texas to try to run the ball, and they felt like with 6 guys in the box and occasional extra safety help, that they could slow it down, and they just got beat too much at the line of scrimmage to make that happen. So that was probably a little bothersome, but with the inexperience on this defensive line, you know, Brendan Evers has been dinged up. Israel Antoine was playing his first game of the season, and even though he's been healthy and practicing, It was still his first game, his first time at game speed in this defense, and I think that those things probably impacted what he was able to do. So overall, you look at it, and they had a plan, and it wasn't quite as, it didn't work quite as smoothly as they hoped, but they were able to be effective. Even with that going as frustratingly as it seemed to feel for them, with the run game pounding them over and over again,
the run game kind of had a misleading stat on time of possession to me a little bit too. OSU had it for 29 minutes and 19 seconds, and Texas had it for 30 minutes and 41 seconds. It sure felt like Texas had the ball a lot longer than that. I don't know if it's just because of the pounding that they did up front there with the run game or anything, but it just felt long.
Yeah, it did. It felt like Texas had the ball significantly longer possessions than Oklahoma State, even though Oklahoma State had the ball more times.
Still, you came away thinking, you know what, this is a game the offense probably lost.
Yeah.
That maybe not be fair, but that's sort of the way it is. The defense gets one turnover and special teams gets two turnovers. I mean, think about it. You come to Austin, you feel pretty good about your defense, not terrible. The Horns commit three turnovers, and you lose 30. And the Cowboys had eight possessions that got inside the Texas 30-yard line. You tell Mike Gundy that Friday night, and he thinks, hey, it's going to be a happy plane ride home. And yet they didn't convert enough of those opportunities. And so they go home having lost. And to me, it was sort of, you look back, it's a game that this was a winnable game for Oklahoma State. And they've won a bunch of games like this over the last 4, 5, 6, 8, 10 years. But they didn't do it Saturday night.
Yeah, absolutely. And you mentioned the three turnovers. They took advantage of two of those. The two muff punts, they scored touchdowns after both of those. Their short yardage failures killed them on the after the interception. That was, I believe, the fake field goal came after the interception. So that was a frustrating aspect of the night for Oklahoma State. So let's take one more quick break. We'll wrap this up, look ahead to Kansas State just a bit, and shut it all down for the postgame edition of the Cowboy Chronicles. We are back on the Cowboy Chronicles postgame edition. I'm your host, Scott Wright, joined by Jacob Unruh and Barry Trammell. Guys, overall, what does this loss do for the trajectory of Oklahoma State's season, do you think?
I think it's a good news, bad news scenario. The good news is the Cowboys just played a game at the 12th ranked team in the nation's. It's a road game, a team that's ranked 12th. And you come away thinking they didn't play very well, and it was still a winnable game.
Yeah.
So for the long-term status of this team, I'm still fairly optimistic compared to, say, where I was in August. I think they got the makings of a pretty good team. I go back to 2013 when the Cowboys, I don't know if it was the Big 12 opener. If it wasn't their opener, it was their second conference game. They go to West Virginia, and they just play sort of bad. They're not a very good game at all, and they lost, I think it was 30-21. And you come away from that game thinking, this isn't going to be great. And then the Cowboys had a great year. Should have won the Big 12. Won the rest of their games until Bedlam and blew Bedlam, or they would have been the Big 12 champ. So, to me, they can still get up off the mat and do some things. Their problem is, you know, one of the main goals would be making the Big 12 championship game, and that's going to be tougher because you just lost to one of the teams that you're going to be fighting with for one of those spots. So Cowboys are going to have to finish, the rest of the year, they're going to have to finish two games better than Texas finishes the rest of the year to be ahead of Texas in the pecking order to make it to Arlington. That's going to be difficult. If Texas goes 6-2, Cowboys have to go 8-0. If Texas goes 5-3, Cowboys have to go 7-1 the rest of the way. So that's the kind of thing you're dealing with, is you lost to one of the teams that's sort of in your way.
Yeah, and you know, you look at what this team was viewed as on the outside I think that they've definitely shown the capability of exceeding that at this point. You know, they were right on the fringe of the top 25 coming into this game. I don't think this game should have done much to diminish what they've accomplished to this point. I think when you look ahead on the schedule, I think there are some games you probably worried about that you don't worry about quite as much now. So I think that the opportunity to be back up in that top three and be there waiting for the opportunity should something odd happen ahead of you is definitely there. So it's definitely a roadblock in the way to the Big 12 championship game. But they've, I think, shown themselves capable of keeping themselves in the race at the top of the other contenders list at this point.
The one thing I think we can say that we didn't know in August, we know it now, Cowboys are going to be just fine at quarterback.
Yeah.
They're way ahead of the curve. Right now you'd say, I mean, I'm not leaving anybody out. I mean, you'd say, oh, you're in Texas. Maybe can count on their quarterbacks more than OSU, but nobody else.
Right.
Charlie Brewer's good at Baylor, but I don't know that I've never seen him play as well as Spencer Sanders played, do the things Sanders did last night. Alan Bowman at Tech is hurt. TCU has no quarterback. Austin Kendall struggling at West Virginia. Skylar Thompson's been okay at K-State. Brock Purdy has played poorly. The first couple of weeks for Iowa State, better yesterday, but against Louisiana Monroe, Spencer Sanders has put himself up into the upper level of Big 12 quarterbacking, and that's a great development for the Cowboys. That's what they were hoping for, but to already get there in his third college game, can't do anything except fortify the future.
Absolutely. Some of the plays that he was able to make in such a big environment, a big situation, definitely impressive. And I think that the future bodes well for this offense with Spencer Sanders. And, you're looking at a guy who is, as long as he stays healthy, and he took some shots. He took some shots from the Texas defense.
He's still not sliding.
Oh, no, he's not. He is not a slider. The one time when he actually tried to just go down because they were trying to keep the chains going, he even went head first. So
it's just awkward watching him try to do that. You got to wonder if he's going to have to slide at some point and keeps getting hit like that.
We'll see. We'll see what he chooses. And he's admitted he is not a big fan of the slide. You ask him about it, he can tell you the one time he slid in a high school game. So we'll see how he handles that, how Mike Gundy and Sean Gleason address that with him if they do. And that could be something that they want him to not be thinking about. Trying to change the way that he attacks the defense. So we'll see there. Real quick, look ahead to Kansas State, because obviously we will cover that significantly in our midweek and Friday podcasts. But this is a big game, bigger than we probably thought it was when Kansas State was sort of viewed as right down there with Kansas at the bottom of the Big 12. They've certainly exceeded expectations to this point of the season, I think is fair to say.
Is it safe to say that about both teams a little bit? Because I'm sure the outside perception on OSU wasn't 100% positive there. And so now Right. They've got both teams coming in this. And coming off Texas, you got to label this a must-win for Oklahoma State right now. Like I said, they've got to be able to stay in this Big 12 race. You get a chance to go and rebound against a team that they should beat. I think Oklahoma State should win this game, but I guess only time will tell how they make adjustments on this offense.
Well, I got two things to say. One, historically, the last decade, OSU's not played that great against K-State. K-State's come to Stillwater and whacked them a couple of times. The games in Manhattan have been classics and close. So, I expect it to be a tight game. And two, Kansas State is way better than anybody thought. You know, Mississippi State is a solid SEC team. Not great, not a dog. SEC, you know, Mississippi State whacked Kentucky yesterday on the same field where K-State played them a week earlier. Mississippi State whacked Kentucky. Kansas State still has the best win in the Big 12 this year, going to Mississippi State and winning. I'm going to do my Big 12 weekly rankings here in a few minutes. I'm moving K-State up to number one. So the same thing we're saying about Oklahoma State. You know, Cowboys are better than we thought. They're encouraged, lots of encouraging signs. You can say all that and more about Kansas State. So I expect this to be a tussle reminiscent of some of the great Gundy-Bill Snyder matchups. Of course, the Cats are without Snyder. He retired. The new coach, Chris Klieman, is off to great guns. So it's I expect it to be a battle royale in Stillwater.
Yeah, and Klieman is still something of an unknown as far as, you know, what his schemes and things are going to look like. Obviously, he had to show some stuff to get past Mississippi State, but still has some pages of his playbook that likely have not been turned to yet. So could be a fascinating game. All right, with that, we will wrap up the post-game edition of the Cowboy Chronicles presented by Zaxby's. Zaxby's taking chicken to a whole new level of flavor. Stop by your neighborhood Zaxby's today or order at zaxbys.com.